Turn, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. We've read these same scriptures for the past, I think, about four Sundays now. I've encouraged you each week to spend time daily reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. How many of you have read it almost every day? All right. How many of you have read it every day? All right. Amen. We're getting better. We're getting better. As we read today, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to finish up the armor of God. And my emphasis on this has been, you need this so desperately, okay? It is so very vital. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm begging you. I'm telling you what you need. You need the armor of God to serve God and to survive in today's world. Otherwise, you're going to get overrun. Let's stand as we look in God's Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we come to you with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray now, Lord, you would speak to us through your word, for we need to hear from you. Lord, we're nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Lord, we pray for that strength, that power of your word to be present today to change lives. I pray, Lord, you'd revive our hearts. Give us a renewed and burning desire and zeal for you, such as we've never had. Lord, move among us freely today. You know our needs, and you truly know our hearts. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing I want to point out to you today is that there is no armor for the back. Being a Christian soldier is no place for sissies. There is no such things as backup, retreat, or try again another day. As a matter of fact, as you read this text that we just read, you see a repeated word, stand. That word stand, it doesn't mean just stand. It means hold your ground. Take your position and refuse to be moved. I love that song, "I shall not be, I shall not be, I shall not be moved." Don't you like that one? That's the concept here. Setting yourself up so that it does not matter what Satan or any of the demons of hell throw towards you, you refuse to be moved. There is no retreat. There is no surrender. There is no turning your back on the enemy. And today we continue this study with the potential power of the Word of God. The potential power of the Word of God. We're told in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This, my friends, is our one offensive weapon. Everything to this point has been to cover the soldier. The breastplate, the shield, and everything's designed to be that defensive weapon. Well, God is giving you something with which you can storm the world and even Satan and the demons of hell. This one weapon, this is the one offensive weapon that you have. You do not have a backup plan, an alternate route. As a matter of fact, you've heard the term bringing out the big guns. This is our big gun. That big gun is, of course, the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 describes the Word of God like this. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive, and the word I want to focus on this morning for this scripture is powerful. That word powerful, the Greek word is energesis, where we get energy from. We think of energy, things like electricity that power homes, fuel that power cars. I want you to know the Word of God is the fuel that powers the army of God. Without this, there is nothing else. You have no way to move forward aside from the Word of God. It's appropriate, it's powerful, it's needed in every situation in life. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. It's all you have, but it's also all you need. But here's the thing, and here's why I said the potential power of the Word. You see, you have to know it to use it. Does that make sense? You have to know it to use it. See, Jesus, in his example, Matthew chapter 4, when he was being tempted by Satan, after Jesus had fasted, Satan approached him. Jesus was hungry, it says. And Satan approached him and said, if you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. You know what Jesus told him? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Then a short time later, again, the challenge came from Satan. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down off this high place. For the Father said He'll take care of you. And that's paraphrased, okay? But again, Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Third time, Satan said, worship me and I'll give you the world. The third time, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God and Him only shall you serve. And you know what Jesus was doing in each of those three temptations? Listen to me now. He was quoting Scripture. Okay? Satan would hit him with the temptation. He'd strike back with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And you know what happened in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, after that third time, Jesus quoted Scripture to Satan. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the devil left him. He couldn't take it. I thoroughly believe you whack Satan in the head two or three times with the sword of God and he'll get out of here. Okay? But you've got to know and got to have the Word of God. You see, the thing that scares me today is so much emphasis are placed upon music and programs that we forget. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against music and programs. However, it cannot replace a grounded knowledge of Scripture. It cannot. You're not going to go into a battle with Satan waving a program flag. You're not going to go into battle with Satan humming a tune. You're going to go into battle with Satan and defeat Satan when you quote Scripture to him. You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. You know, some people have the idea of being ready as having the preacher on speed dial. Brother Doug, I'm in trouble. What do I do? You know, that's fine. I do not mind that you call me. I welcome your calls. But the Bible says that Satan is a roaring lion. seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever watched on TV, or I don't know, maybe you've seen in person how a lion attacks? He's sneaky. He'll hide himself and get just as close as he can to his prey, and then all of a sudden he'll pounce and overtake that prey. See, that's the way Satan operates. Most of the time you don't see him coming until he's on you. And most of the time you don't have time to call Brother Doug and say, "Brother Doug, give me a scripture I need." See, if you wait till then, you're behind. That's why the psalmist in David in Psalms 119 said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." You see, the psalmist was talking about being ready. As a matter of fact, that word hidden in that text, it literally means to treasure up or to store up. Every day, you don't just need to spend time in God's Word. You need to commit God's Word to your heart. And this is one of my greatest downfalls. This is good preacher confession time, okay? Sometimes I forget to memorize Scripture as I should. So that when attack comes, I say, "I know it's in here. Where is it?" You know, do you do that? No, we've got to get it in here. We've got to store it up. We've got to treasure it. Let me ask you, what do you do when you get discouraged? "Well, Brother Doug, I try to pick myself up." How's that work for you? I'll tell you what, it doesn't work at all for me. But like the prophet Jeremiah 15:16, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." I want to tell you, when you get into God's word and you are downhearted and you're hurting and you need that pick me up, and you turn and you come to that scripture and you say, "Oh yes, Lord, that's what I needed. That's what I needed." Are you confused? Do you ever get to that point, "Lord, what do I do next?" You ever come to that point, "Lord, I don't know which direction to go. I don't know what I'm going to do." Psalms 119:105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Oh Lord, show me, direct me through your word. Let me ask you, do you know if you have a fear, a problem with fear? Do you ever get afraid? What do you do? I do. Am I the only scaredy cat in this congregation? Any of you deal with fear, raise your hand. Okay, we all do. What do you do when you're afraid? I know this is very simple. I know you probably think, "Well, you know, this is..." But listen, when I'm afraid, my go-to scripture is the 23rd Psalm. When I'm threatened, this is my go-to scripture. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know those times when I don't know how I'm going to get through next week. It doesn't look like both ends are going to meet in the middle. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You ever walk through that valley? Where your life is threatened or the life of your loved ones are threatened, and you're going through there and you're hurting and you don't know what to do. You start spouting, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You ever get to that point where your enemies are against you? I mean, they're rearing their ugly head and you haven't done anything to deserve the treatment that you're getting. "Yea, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." You get into the 23rd Psalm and you can just about face most anything Satan wants to throw at you. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." When Satan's telling you how bad it is, how bad you've got it, and how much trouble you've got, go to the last verse there, 23rd Psalm. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me tell you, you quote that scripture to him, you get the 23rd Psalm, and you get to the end, and he'll still be there. And say, "Oh no." Then you start over. About the third time you quote it, I can promise you, he'll get out of there. Okay? I speak from experience. It works. The Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's the only thing you've got to fight with that works. Self-determination will not work. Church membership will not work. It takes the Word of God. And you can't use what you do not have. Get into the Word. Get into the Word, my friends, my brothers. Then we come to the power of prayer. Let me ask you, how's your prayer life? Is it great? Oh, amen. Two or three are great. Good. Good. Then that means you really need to listen to this part. Not only do you need to get into the Word of God, you need to get on your knees. Okay? Pray with power. That powerful prayer begins with praying with persistence. If you'll notice in verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. Literally, literal translation would say, praying in every season. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances you face, that you're always praying. Paul put it like this, pray always. And he, yeah. Pray always. Why did he say that? Well, it's like this. Do you find your prayer life a lot better when you're in big trouble? Okay, let's be honest. Come on. Come on. Give me the hands. Come on. It's confession time. Come on. We all tend to be bad about that. Oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this week. I'm facing such trial and such tribulation. Lord, just carry me. And he carries us through and things get better and our prayers go to, oh, I forgot to pray today. Lord, bless me, bless them, amen. Is that what it looks like? I mean, really. You see, prayer is always appropriate. Paul says here, pray in all situations. As a matter of fact, that word, he uses two words. Word number one is prayer, which is the general term for prayer, meaning pray about everything. Things are good. You say, Brother Doug, the things are good. Good. Get on your knees and praise God that things are good. Pour out your heart before a holy God that He's taking such good care of you. Supplication is the other word. Supplication is that urgent appeal. Oh Lord, I'm in trouble. I'm going down here for the third time. Please come to my rescue. That kind of urgent appeal. And he's building a picture to pray no matter what your circumstance is. You're calling out to God. You're praising God. You're pouring your heart out to God. You're calling upon God because you need Him day by day. Pray with persistence. No matter how good or how bad the times are, you need that time with God. Then pray with power. Do you know how to pray with power? Let me tell you. Pray in the Spirit. That's what he said. Praying always with all prayer in the Spirit. Verse 18. Do you know how to pray in the Spirit? Well, you start out by meditation and humming. No. It's not some mystical trance that you enter into. That's not what he's talking about. You know? I found that people can work themselves up over anything, right? That's not what we're talking about. Now, mind you, prayer time is very special and it is precious. And it is an emotional experience. However, this prayer that he's talking about is not some mystical trance. He's talking about praying about spiritual matters. Praying in the Spirit, pray about spiritual matters. Spiritual things. Let me ask you a question. What do you pray about? Oh, Brother Doug, everything. Are you like me? I catch myself oftentimes, you know, the majority, 90% of my prayers are about physical matters. Oh, Lord, I'm in financial distress. Please send money. Sound like a kid, don't I? Oh, Lord, please keep us safe as we travel. Hedge about us. Lord, I'm sick. Please heal me. When we do prayer requests, and do not get me wrong, I am not against praying for sick folks. If I'm sick, please pray for me. If you're sick, I'll pray for you. But have you noticed that our prayer life is all physical? But when you go to the model prayer, when Jesus' apostles asked him to teach them how to pray, there was one physical request in that prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what? Our daily bread. That was the one physical part of the prayer. Didn't say, Lord, bless me next week, next month, next year. Said, Lord, just provide what I need for today. The rest of it was spiritual. The rest of it was worship. Hallowed be thy name. The rest of it was a prayer for Jesus' return. Do you pray for the second coming of Jesus? The older I get, the more I pray for Jesus' return. And I guess it's because the light's coming on more and more. How much we need Jesus to come back. There was a prayer for God's will to be done. Not, Lord, my will be done, not thine. No, it's, Lord, thy will be done. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Guidance. Lord, give us direction. But deliver us from evil. Deliverance out of the hand of this Satan that we're doing daily battle with. But that's it. One little physical request. Here's my point. Have you noticed that anymore churches are not on fire for the Lord? Do you wonder why? You say, well, Brother Doug, it's just the times we live in. Well, yeah, maybe so. But I truly, honestly believe that it's not just the times we live in, because the Word of God still works. I believe it's the prayers that we're praying. Our prayer life is selfish. Lord, get me out of this. Help me, heal me. And that's our prayers. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray spiritual prayers? If not, why not? That's what Paul's talking about. You see, just we need to quit trying to impress God with our big words and our pretty sentences of prayer, and just get down on our knees and pray for revival. When's the last time you've seen God break out in a service where tears were being shed and true concerns were revealed for the lost people? But Doug, it's been a while. What have you been praying about? When's the last time you prayed for a lost person? Instead of praying, God, give me a new job and give me a better job, why aren't you praying for your friend that's bound for hell? You know, Paul, in this text, he ends verse 18 with prayer and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Do you pray for your pastor? If you do, what do you pray? Well, listen, you know, I appreciate the prayers, but please pray that God will open my mouth boldly. Okay? That the gospel of Jesus Christ will be presented. Listen, we need to get back to the concept of spiritual. I know there are a lot of physical distractions, but our prayer life should be majorly based on things that have eternal consequences. Okay? Not selfish, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Then finally, we need to be praying with perseverance. Paul says, being watchful here. Being watchful to this end. That word watchful literally means to stay awake or go sleepless. And the idea is that you're always praying, you're always looking around, seeing what's going on around you, and praying about what's going on around you. Let me ask you a question. Do you forget to pray about things? Why? This is where it gets real quiet. I've got to be honest, I do too. Okay? But I think one of the reasons I forget is because I don't stop to look what's going on around me. I don't stop to see where God is working around me. I don't stop to see the real prayer needs around me. Do you pray for your brethren? See, you know, when you see your brethren hurting or in need, do you pour out your heart? You go before God and say, God, help my brother. Do you pray for our missionaries? When's the last time you prayed for Brother Ben Hightower and our mission in Colombia? Well, Brother Doug, I forgot about that. Why did you forget? Because you're not noticing. You're not looking around. You're not being watchful of what God is doing around us. God's doing good things in Colombia, but I want to tell you what. Well, Brother Ben needs your prayers. I need your prayers. Our teachers. Oh, we have wonderful teachers for our Bible studies on Sunday morning. Amen? Man, we do. But I want to tell you what. If God does not empower those guys, they don't do much good. Okay? Same goes for me. Are you lifting your teacher up before God? Say, God, fill that man with your Spirit. Flow through him your word that I need to hear. Teach me. You see, when you actually stop and look around, your prayer life will get better because you will realize how much there is to pray about. Do you watch the news? Some people say, I don't watch the news anymore because it makes me angry. I understand. But you know, the fact is, it should make us pray. Pray for our government. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our country. I don't believe we're a lost cause. Okay? I do not believe this nation is a lost cause. But I do believe God's people need to get on their knees and pray spiritual prayers, asking for the salvation of the lost. Asking for the rededication of those who are lukewarm. Asking for the renewed commitment for those who've fallen by the wayside. Let me ask you. Are you tired of losing? You ever feel like you're just losing ground? Every time you look up, you're losing. It's probably because you're fighting the wrong battle. Or you're fighting the battle the wrong way. Listen, my beloved. We're wrestling against a powerful, unpredictable, cheating enemy. He has no morals. He does not care what's right, wrong, or all he cares about is your destruction. How are you going to fight? You've got to go to Ephesians 6. 10 through 20, and fight according to the armor of the Lord. You've got to put on the armor. You've got to have the belt of truth. If you don't have the truth, you can't even start. I want to tell you what, there are a lot of religions out there, but few contain the truth. Most of them are country clubs and social clubs anymore. You've got to start with the truth. You've got to have the breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your life. You've got to have the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where you're able to take your stand and say, Satan, I do not care what you throw against me. I shall not be moved. There's nothing you can do about it. Quit worrying about, I've got to stand and start standing in the Lord. Taking your shield of faith, realizing that you have the promises of God, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that He cares so much for you that the very hairs on your head are numbered. And when Satan fires those darts, you plant that shield saying, I'll trust God no matter what. Taking that helmet of salvation, knowing all you have in the Lord, keeping your head on straight. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, getting back into opening that Bible, family devotions, and actually putting into practice, not just reading it as a good book, but taking it and applying it to life. And pray. We sing victory in Jesus. I want to tell you, victory in Jesus is more than a song. This is a recipe for victory in Jesus. You're tired of losing? Start fighting God's way with God's weapons. You may be here today and your life is about losing because you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Excuse me just a moment. You've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You're going to lose. You're going to go through this life. And you're going to get to the end of this life. And you're going to face judgment of God. And the book's going to be open, the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to find that your name's not written in that book. And you're going to hear the words, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." I know that in this world today, everybody thinks they're going to heaven. But the fact is, according to the Word of God, everybody's not going to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. It's not by your good works. It's not by the church you attend. It's not by who you are and the importance of who you are. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Just like Jesus told Nicodemus, a very religious Pharisee of his day, who approached Jesus by night. Jesus just said, "You must be born again. Have you been born again?" How do you do that? Very simply, you go to the Lord realizing Jesus is the Son of God who died upon Calvary for your sins, rose the third day, and He issues you an invitation today. "Come unto me. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden's light." Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, this invitation's for you. I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe you're here today and you've been fighting the battles and you've been fighting them all wrong. Maybe it's time for a renewed commitment. Maybe you're here today, the Lord's leading you to join this church so you can get involved in the fight and invite you to come. Maybe you're here today and you just need to get on your knees and pray for strength. This altar's open to you. Whatever your spiritual need is, we've come to the point of the service in which we're going to have a song. And I'm going to challenge you to let God have His way in your life and to respond to God as He would lead you. Heavenly Father, we thank You. And we thank You for Your Word and for the reminder of Your Word that we are victorious in You. Help us, Lord, to fight using Your weapons of battle. Help us to take our stand and refuse to be moved, refusing to compromise, refusing to allow Satan to have ground. Lord, we pray that You'd send revival. Let it start with us here today. Give us a zeal, a fire for You such as we've not seen before. In Jesus' name I pray.